Now, from the left coast, it's another podcast edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is curious, opinionated, and relentless in pursuit of the truth like a honeybee drawn to pollen. He's an independent progressive, ready to sting Republicans and Democrats alike when they deserve it. After years in commercial radio, Peter B. welcomes you to this audio adventure in news and politics with no corporate filter. Listeners support this program, and you can help at peterbcollins.com. Here's your humble host, Peter B.
Hey, thanks for downloading the latest in-depth interview conversation from peterbcollins.com. Today, Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative journalist who now publishes at BuzzFeed.com, he returns to the podcast, and we get a little uncomfortable at times as I raise questions about the article he published on November 8th about Robert Johnston, the CrowdStrike consultant who investigated the alleged hack of the DNC servers. I promised you this interview, and I'm delivering. And I'm eager to hear your comments. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you who support me with your subscriptions. People like Steve Wozinski, Judy Holloway, Linda Gray, and Brian Massey. I'd like you to join them. Visit peterbcollins.com, click on the menu button, then click on Become a Subscriber. It takes you to the sign-up page, and I think you can figure it out from there. The Sisters of Mercy opened the podcast today as the so-called FOIA terrorist, Jason Leopold, returns to the Peter B. Collins podcast. Jason, as always, it's good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Peter.
And you've been doing a lot of interesting reporting, a lot of FOIA-based stuff recently. I want to acknowledge the shout-out that you got from Rachel Maddow, because for so long, your work for different online outlets has been used and usurped by corporate media entities without giving you credit. And
yes.
On the night before Thanksgiving, Rachel Maddow went into detail about your digging into Mike Flynn's tenure at the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Right.
And you were able to deduce that his tenure there is part of the criminal investigation by Special Counsel Bob Mueller. So
I want to be clear about that. It's possible that it's, you know, part of Mueller's probe, but it's not entirely clear. I mean, mm-hmm. this was a FOIA request I filed in 2014, actually one day after the Washington Post reported that he was pushed out. My FOIA request sought emails, the last 50 emails that he sent and received, communications with James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence at the time, documents on budgets, lots of different documents and wide range of records.
Mm-hmm.
So DIA did not respond to me for 3 years. 3 years. I didn't even get an acknowledgement letter. And I received an acknowledgement letter finally about a week or so ago, week and a half ago. And remarkably, it said that this universe of records that I was, you know, asking about was being withheld because it would, if it were released, it would interfere with law enforcement activities.
Mm-hmm.
So the likely assumption is that it appears to be, what's the investigation that's going on?
Right.
It's Mueller's probe, Robert Mueller, the special counsel. However, there very well may be other, investigations that it relates to. I mean, we've heard many different stories about Mike Flynn's tenure, his management style. So I just want to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to be clear because I want to dig into the story that you published on November 8th at BuzzFeed, profiling Robert Johnston of the CrowdStrike company. And just as a way of background, I remain skeptical about the fundamentals of the Trump-Russia narrative, and in particular, that it was Russian agents or operatives who hacked the DNC and then gave that data to WikiLeaks. And my basis is talking repeatedly to Bill Binney, the former NSA technical director, who has his own theorem that the hack was not a hack but an insider leak. And that is based on some forensic data that he has processed that came from the Guccifer 2.0 metadata. And in addition, Binney also argues that if it had been a remote hack by Russia or anybody else, that the NSA has tracking devices at virtually every major network switch or hub and would be able to track those packets. So
I think what Bill Binney is saying, I mean, I understand that, there's a completely other side here, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say this. I respect Bill Binney's work, the fact that he's a whistleblower. I think that, you know, I've looked at what he said, and other experts have as well, and they completely disagree with him. And here's my assessment of this. This whole thing is obviously politicized. There's no evidence that this was an inside job. There's simply no evidence. People can believe it, maybe. There's no evidence of that. What I've been presented with through the course of my reporting over the past year is evidence that it was hackers associated with Russia.
And what is that evidence? Because it's not available to the public.
I can say that it's evidence that, you know, that I've actually looked at. You know, that people have shown me, you know, through the course of my reporting, and that I've been able to, you know, see that the hackers that were that they've identified as being associated with Russia, you know, were also involved with, you know, hacking the Joint Chiefs of Staff, other members of Congress, a target list of 50,000 people. It's, you know, the fact that this stuff is classified is, I mean, it's out of my hands. I can't do anything about that, right? So if I'm trying to ferret out information and getting people to share information with me and running up against, you know, a wall of secrecy, that's a problem. And I think demanding more evidence and demanding that the government, you know, release information to support what they are claiming is warranted. And I agree with the fact that there isn't evidence that the government has declassified that would, you know, would beyond a shadow of a doubt show that. In terms of the insider, you know, this, you know, WikiLeaks has tried to say the same thing, Seth, Julian Assange, that it was likely, you know, Seth Rich. People I've spoken to, you know, Robert Johnston, who is the subject, you know, of my profile,
mm-hmm.
He personally examined Seth Rich's, you know, computer at the request of the DNC because of their own internal fears after he was murdered. That did he have anything to do with this? And he said that there was zero evidence that, you know, that was the case.
All right. Now, first of all, Seth Rich is not the only possible suspect.
And no, not at all.
I do consider that to be an open case, but I don't promote the idea that it was Seth Rich over, you know, any other possible suspect. And I also think that Imran Awan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and other members of Congress IT person is somebody who we need to know a whole lot more about. But I want to come back to your comment about Bill Binney, because, you know, Binney has no particular axe to grind here, and he's been consistent since I first spoke to him in August of 16.
Yeah.
And you know, even if you want to dismiss his theorem, which is what he calls it, his assertion that if it were a remote hack by anybody, the NSA would have data, and President Obama could have declassified some or all of that evidence at any time after the November election last year and before he left office on January 20th. And so, you know, I am still suspicious of government sources saying, trust me, when there is no public evidence to support this sweeping narrative.
And I agree. I think people should absolutely be skeptical of that. And let me be clear. I think my body of work over the years has proven that I'm pretty damn skeptical of government sources as well. Robert Johnston, the person I profiled, is not a government source. You know, he worked at the Joint Chiefs. He's, you know, in his early 30s. He was part of the, you know, he headed up the cyber red team. He worked on the Joint Chiefs. This guy was literally just sitting at his desk when he got the call. He's by no means, you know, someone that I see, and I spent lots of time with him as a deep state, you know, person. Someone who's sort of, you know, part of the government apparatus that's, you know, trying to hide anything here.
Well, but hold on here. Okay, CrowdStrike is populated by former FBI cyber people, and it has done contract work for the FBI in the past. And when you look at the way they were exclusively given the task of examining the servers and trying to take steps to protect from any further intrusions, your article does acknowledge that the FBI itself has never examined the DNC networks or servers. And this raises questions. And there was a great piece by Joe Lauria that got more attention because it was spiked by the Huffington Post, where he pointed out that the two pillars of the Trump-Russia narrative are firms that were paid by the DNC, CrowdStrike and Fusion GPS.
Right.
And to treat these as neutral parties, independent, I have a serious problem with. And when we know that the hacking tools of both the NSA and the CIA have been hacked themselves by shadow brokers, the Vault 7 release, we know that they had malware that could misdirect the perpetrator of a remote hack. And so, to hear Johnston, first of all, I commend you. You got the story from him first. And your profiles, you know.
And let me be clear about that, Peter. This wasn't a guy who was looking a step forward. I was out there searching for, who the person was.
Right, and nobody else did that, and I give you credit for that.
But what I was going to note is that, you know, we've constantly heard that, you know, CrowdStrike was involved with spotting this hack. They wrote up the report, and I was just wondering, well, who at CrowdStrike? Who is the person? When I found out that it was a person who was, you know, former or a U.S. Marine, I thought that was interesting and curious. And I discovered that the person, you know, who was leading this also worked on the Joint Chiefs hack, you know, months earlier. I felt that was, you know, an intriguing, you know, story about this person who was at the center of the most notorious high-profile hacking issues, you know, for lack of a better description, really, you know, at a time when so much was at stake. So I sought him out. And look, I recognize that people have, you know, different views. The fact of the matter is, you know, Bill Binney has a theory, you know, Joe Lauria, who, by the way, I can't stand for personal reasons, has his own theory. And I think it's important to raise questions. I'm here. My job was to check out what this guy said, and I checked it out.
But did you consider asking Robert Johnston to comment on Bill Binney's theorem?
I did,
and it didn't make the story.
And he basically dismissed it.
Okay, but isn't even that, you know, that to me is at least noteworthy.
I didn't feel it was noteworthy for the story. I didn't feel that the, you know, the story was largely about the person who, as I, you know, about him. You know, I wasn't writing a story about the DNC hack, Peter. I was writing a story about the person, you know, who was at the center of two major hacking operations. I didn't put the Seth, you know, the fact that he examined Seth Rich's computer either. It's a story that covers, you know, his background, how he got into the Marines, how he landed at CrowdStrike. That's what the story was.
Okay, but you don't even
what should have been in the story, but.
But you don't even acknowledge that there are doubts about this, that there isn't sufficient public evidence to prove it. You write, although the broad outlines of the DNC hack are well known. Well, wait a minute. I don't accept that this is a proven issue. And I don't think that your article addresses that.
Okay, that's fair. I, you know, felt that this is what I wanted my article to focus on. Wasn't going to dive into, you know, are there other theories. And, you know, Bill Binney has his theory. It's been criticized, dismissed, and I think there's holes in it.
Now,
Thomas Drake has even distanced himself from it.
Yes, he did.
I'm not writing a story about, you know, the discrepancies related to, you know, the evidence. I note in the story that, you know, the issues are classified. I mean, that there's still a lot more to learn, obviously. But I, you know, focused on him.
And I do understand that. And I don't have a problem with you profiling him. It's that in the context of that, in that frame, you embrace as fact the unproven conspiracy theories that are promoted by the Democratic National Committee, by friends of Hillary.
Why are you saying they're conspiracy theories?
Because they are.
Why is it that a conspiracy theory, but Bill Binney isn't a conspiracy theory?
Well, first of all, Binney has been dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, and Rachel Maddow's takedown on him was the yellowest form of journalism that I've seen in a long time. And nobody has thoroughly examined Bill Binney's claims. He has been dismissed because it's inconvenient to the consensus narrative. Not because somebody analyzed his data. I acknowledge that Tom Drake has dissented from that in the, you know.
Why would Tom Drake dissent from that?
Well,
nobody's pressuring Tom Drake to dissent from it.
That's right. And that's worthwhile investigating. That's worthwhile exploring. But Tom Drake did not dismiss it. He felt that it was overstated. I read the minority report that he and a couple of others signed, you know, and that The Nation aired out. I give The Nation credit for real journalism, putting two conflicting theories or narratives to, you know, a comparative test. But Bill Binney's theories have not been examined. They have simply been dismissed.
I don't believe they've been dismissed. I've read various articles on Bill Binney where it has not just been dismissed outright, but there have been people who have weighed in with technical expertise as to why they believe the theory has holes.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I'm not trying to say that it is the silver bullet,
I also want to be clear about this. I have no dog in this fight, Peter. I'm looking for a story, and mm-hmm. I try to, you know, understand what the issues are. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, that there's another side to it, or that another side should be considered. I don't see enough, you know, evidence. I disagree with you on the evidence. I disagree with you on, you know, Bill Binney's theory about it. I think that the idea that there was, you know, an inside job, well, I haven't really seen any evidence on that. And by the way, you know, I've tried to speak to the DNC, and they've blown me off, multiple times to try to get to the bottom of it. So... You know, it's not to say that this is the end of it. I mean, I certainly intend to do more reporting on it and try to ferret out more information, particularly, you know, what the FBI was doing. What was the FBI's, you know, true role in this?
Jason, pause for a second here, okay? The assessments that were published by the intelligence community, first in October of last year, and then the January 6th follow-up that was published, is full of holes and assertions that are not based on any evidence. The document, you know, acknowledges that right along the way. It was padded with this outdated attack on RT, as if, you know, every American has been glued to RT for the last 2 years, almost nonstop. And, you know, these have been converted from allegations and theories and assessed analytics to pure fact. And my problem with your article is not the profile of Johnston. It is the way it is framed around, you know, just assertions that are now treated as fact. And I have seen you, you know, do much better work where I feel that you really acknowledge that we don't know the whole story and that you're working with what is available. But here I feel that you have, you know, jumped in with Scott Shane and a lot of other reporters who I respect, but who are promoting an unproven narrative as fact.
Okay. Fair criticism. I disagree with you.
All right. I want you to hear a comment that came from a listener who is also a fan of yours. I discussed this the Friday after your article appeared on my Facebook Live feed. And this is Kyle Kyleman, who you may know from Facebook. He's a Southern California resident who works in the movie industry.
Yeah, without going into it into too great a detail, I'll just say that that Jason Leopold has been a hero of mine for a long, long time. For those who don't know who he is or may not know much about him, he's been identified by the government as a, quote, FOIA terrorist, Freedom of Information Act terrorist, because he is so incredibly effective at digging dirt out of the government, you know, their own dirt, and making them show their own documents. So to see this bizarre article that you mentioned, or that Kyle mentioned, actually, the thing on BuzzFeed,
right.
I mean, this is very odd. It not only supposedly confirms the Russia hacked narrative, it's demonstrably lacking in any kind of real proof. If you read the article carefully, as I'm sure you have, all it says is that, oh, the Russians hacked, and that's it. There's not really any proof. This guy says that they hacked, you know? That's basically the content of the article, unless I'm mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There are a couple of modest qualifiers, you know, about the Trump-Russia narrative. But, you know, the frame of the article is that that's all true, and here's the guy who proved it.
Right, but where's the proof? The guy, they don't actually give any proof. To me, this is very concerning. Mm-hmm. To have somebody who I've considered to be, you know, in the top echelon of trustworthiness suddenly produce essentially garbage.
Well, so there you have it, Jason. That's
my God,
Kyle's
take. You know, Peter, I mean, I don't know how you want me to react to that. Essentially produce garbage. I produced an article on the guy who is at the center of this, okay? Mm-hmm. You can disagree with it. Listeners can disagree with it. Fans and former fans can disagree with it, okay? I explain in the article what happened when he saw it, you know, and what should I have done? Kill my story? He offered, you know, an explanation, and in the context of the Joint Chiefs, so he, you know, explained how he came to figure out or believe that this was, you know, hackers associated with Russia. As I noted when we first started speaking, this is so highly politically charged with so much, you know, feelings of distrust toward the DNC, you know, and the way in which the DNC has operated. And I think that's totally warranted, by the way. And so I feel that lots of criticism is, you know, in a way sort of, you know, directed at or the feelings, the strong feelings that people have as if I'm trying to defend, you know, what the DNC is saying. There's nothing I can do about that, Peter.
All right.
The only thing I can continue doing is reporting, is trying to find that evidence, and I'm going to continue reporting. And I'm perfectly okay if people, you know, have an opinion of my work or something like this that's garbage. I tend to disagree, and other people disagree. So I understand that some people feel differently about it. But, you know, I always strive to find documentary evidence and to stand that up.
All right, let me quote again from your article. The answers would come when the stolen emails were published by WikiLeaks in a series of devastating, carefully timed leaks. What is the proof of that?
What is the proof of it? Just what we've seen. That's what Johnston has said. He discussed how, you know, once he went, I mean, he talks about their plan in terms of how they, you know, were going to the Washington Post and I note, you know, how odd it was in terms of where they thought that this, you know, that this would more or less going to the Washington Post, leaking the details of who they believed was behind the hack, would somehow just, you know, try to get in front of it and how it backfired on them.
But my point is, Jason, the alleged transfer of stolen emails from Russian operatives to WikiLeaks is completely unproven.
I don't say that it is proven. I just simply say what we know, what we've been told at this point, and what we've challenged. We've tried to challenge that, but there's lots of things that are unproven. I don't know what you want me to actually say, Peter, at this point.
Well,
I mean, I'm really unclear about that.
Okay.
I feel like we're going back and forth on the article. I get your point, right? You disagree with a narrative that you feel is, you know, is lacking in evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that I understand that, and I do agree as well that there has not been evidence that is, you know, that has come out. I'm telling you, I found the person who worked for CrowdStrike at the time as a consultant who was at the center of this, and he also worked on the Joint Chiefs, and I spent a lot of time with the guy.
Right.
I believe him.
The Joint Chiefs
part. I believe that what he showed, that what he's told me, and what I have checked out as a result with 14 or 15 different sources, which I note in the story, I believe that. So if, you know, people want me to provide them with a document, I'm sorry that I don't have that document. But I do have my integrity as a reporter and my own track record, you know. So that's the only thing I can offer right now.
Mm-hmm. My point here is that the assessment that was published by three, maybe four intelligence agencies, not 17, as was asserted, is full of consistent with and a lot of other weasel words. And my take on the use of the Joint Chiefs hack as some sort of circumstantial evidence related to the DNC hack is similarly interesting, but not persuasive. It doesn't establish that the same people were involved, and the way people can spoof their identity, their IP address. You know, if you wanted to blame somebody, you would blame the Russians. And so, you know, I'm working here looking for evidence, and you may have seen things that I haven't. And this is why I wanted to discuss it with you, because I'm uncomfortable with the framing of your article, which embraces this narrative without acknowledging that it is largely unproven.
I hear you.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to me. Thanks for discussing it. I want to honor your time. I know you've got to go to another appointment, but I would like you to give an opportunity to make any last comment here for the benefit of our listeners.
Like I said, I'm going to continue reporting. And I am going to continue to try and pry loose the documents to back up whatever it is, you know, the government claims, as I always have.
Mm-hmm.
And if those documents do not exist, if there is nothing to back up, you know, what the quote-unquote official narrative is, I intend to report that, just as I have with, you know, with other issues. In this case, you know, I understand the criticisms. I hear the criticisms, and I understand that this is, you know, this is a real sensitive issue that regarding the narrative, you know, revolving around Russia. I also want to make it clear that, you know, I think that people should remain skeptical of what's coming out there. And I think that this year, it's been abundantly clear that, you know, of the, you know, when the Director of National Intelligence is offering up an actual, you know, report, a declassified report, it lacks, you know, evidence. And, you know, my job is to try to find that evidence, which is what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the only thing I can continue to do.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you for responding and airing this out. I do appreciate it. And, I take you at your word that you'll keep digging. And I'd like to keep talking with you about this as you discover more evidence or more information becomes available, whether from the special counsel or from any other credible source. My concern is that we have a runaway train here of a story that serves the needs of particular interest groups and is unfortunately not founded on public evidence where I can say, okay, you know, you have persuaded me. I can now reduce or eliminate my skepticism and accept the assertions that have been offered. But to date, I can't get there.
I totally understand that, Peter.
All right, Jason. Thank you very much. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for listening to this conversation with journalist Jason Leopold. Send me your comments, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.